Truly is good to see you. Oh boy, as some of you know, if you were watching a couple of weeks ago, some of you know that our whole family went down with COVID-19, including Jackie. And you know, that was one of the big things. We knew that if that thing got in our house, that it was going to be a life and death situation. But the good news is we're all out the other side, 100%. Nobody had to go to hospital, praise God. And as I've been moving around talking to different people, I thought that only about 20 families in this church or their relatives, you know, close to them, had got it. Come to find out, we're approaching herd immunity. Come on. This is absolutely amazing. I'm shocked to find out how many people in the church got it. Very few went to hospital, all got out of it. And as far as I know, nobody who actually attends our church got seriously ill to the point, you know, of death or got very seriously ill. But so we thank God. Faith works. Amen. Faith works. And we are overcomers in Jesus' name. During the time of praise and worship, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, I'm throwing a blanket over the fire. So the fire that might be burning in your life, you know, that's what you do. You throw a blanket over it, you roll them up, kill the flame. Amen? Amen? Blanket of God's love, presence, Holy Spirit, thrown over your life. Amen? He's got control of this. Praise God. Well, if you have a Bible, would you hold it up? If you don't, hold your phone or whatever you use. Hold it up. There you go. People's got a phone up. Say this out loud with me. This is my Bible. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. And I am what it says I am. Believe that? Yeah. Amen. Praise God. You know, I asked somebody the other day, how are you doing? And I heard this, you know, well, under the circumstances, I'm doing pretty good. And my immediate response was, what are you doing under the circumstances? You know, as children of God, we are overcomers. Yeah. Amen. We are victorious despite the circumstances. Praise God. Or at least we should be. Come on. Hmm? Thank you, Cindy. So we want to look today at an overcomer. What does it mean? What does it look like? What does an overcomer look like? And I think you might be surprised. So our first scripture we want to look at this morning is Romans 8:37. It goes like this, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So despite this, yet, despite all these things that you're going through, you're more than conquerors. Now here's an interesting thing. The more than conquerors in the Greek is actually put together in one word, and I believe I have the word for you. Let's see if I do. Yeah, there it is, hyperniko. So we have niko in the church. Now we have a hyperniko. Hyperniko, and you know what it means? It means to vanquish beyond. It means to gain a decisive victory. In other words, it's not a regular victory. We are hyper-conquerors. Hyper-conquerors, amen? That's who we are. Come on, go ahead and give the Lord praise. Hyper-conquerors. In other words, I want to declare that we all are suffering from a disease called hyper-conqueritis. Amen? And from that, you don't want to be healed. Thank you, Lord. Hyper-conquerors. Hyper-conqueritis. Some of you might remember the famous boxer, Muhammad Ali. Anybody remember the famous boxer? You know, he was like the best of the best. Anybody who was born at that time who was a boxer, you know, I mean, George Foreman, even people like that, Smokey Joe Frazier, I feel sorry for them because this guy was, you know, fly like a butterfly, sting like a bee, and he's had a mouth as big as you could imagine. But anyway, you know, this guy was a conqueror in the realm of boxing. But you know that when he came home with his multi-million dollars check, his wife said she was more than a conqueror. She didn't have to fight. He had a fight. And she got the money. Just bring it out, babe. Here it is. Here you go. Now go back to work, right? More than a conqueror in Jesus' name. Say, I'm more than a conqueror. I am an overcomer in Jesus' name. So my title this morning is Overcomers. Turn and tell somebody you're an overcomer. Through the cross and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, he defeated Satan and he delivered us out of his power. Do you believe that? Through the cross and the resurrection, Jesus defeated the devil and he delivered us out of his power. Now I want to ask you a question. Was the cross enough? And I'm going to ask you again. Was the cross enough? One more time. Was the cross enough? Because some Christians are living like it wasn't. Some Christians are living like I have to go through this on my own. Some Christians are asking, why God? Why haven't you helped? Why haven't you delivered? And yet, the cross was enough. Remember this. We had nothing to do with the victory we inherited. You might want to write that down if you're taking notes. We had nothing to do with the victory we inherited. He did it all for us. He defeated Satan. He went to the cross. He was raised from the dead. And he gave the victory to us without us earning it or deserving it. What a wonderful deliverer. Amen. What a wonderful deliverer. He rescued us from satanic bondage and broke us out of the prison and set us free. In our first year of Bible college back in South Africa, we had really, really young Christians that came in. I mean, Christians that were just a couple of weeks old. They didn't know anybody in the Word. They knew nothing in the Word. They thought Job was a book on getting a job. They didn't know anything. And the one guy said to me, you keep on talking about this bandage that people have got and this ointment that they get. And I said, you mean bondage? And anointing. That's where they were when they came in to the beginning. Thank God you're further along than that. Amen. He delivered us out of satanic bondage. All right, let's read 1 John 3, verse 8. The reason the Son of God was made manifest or visible was to undo, destroy, loosen, and dissolve the works of the devil or the works the devil has done. So, we have the victory now in this life through Jesus, and we must never, ever let the devil back in our lives. The very reason Jesus was manifested was to undo, to loosen, to destroy the works of the devil. Was the cross enough? Yes. Then this scripture has been fulfilled. He was manifest and he accomplished his goal, why he came, the purpose he came. The devil's works have been destroyed and dissolved so that we are now free in Jesus' name. We must not let the devil back into our lives. Ephesians 4, 7 says, give the devil no place. Amen. That is Dennis's, Dr. Love's, one of his famous lovely scriptures, right, Dr. Love? That's right. Give the devil no place. Well, you know, the NIV says, do not give the devil a foothold. And then the NET says, do not give the devil an opportunity. He is going around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's trying to take us captive again, wants to put us back in the prison. He wants to undo what Jesus did in your life. And he will if you'll let him. Please, simply do not give the devil opportunity. Do not let him have his way in your life. James chapter 4, verse 7 says this. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Notice these two instructions. Submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Very often what Christians do is they try and get the devil to flee, but they haven't submitted to God. And that's something that we need to examine our life with. You know, are we spending time with him? Are we doing quiet time? Are we reading the book? Are we praying? Are we asking God different things? Are we coming to church? And so on and so forth. The submission to God is a very important thing. And you can get out of it real quickly. You know, it is possible for you to backslide in your heart in a couple of weeks. It doesn't take a long time. And then praying becomes more difficult, attending church, reading the Bible, all of these things become more difficult. And you're actually giving him opportunity at that time because he's going around seeking whom he may devour. So submit to God, and then resist the devil. And you see, we have to resist the devil. And there's a way that we resist the devil. We resist him in faith. We speak to those circumstances. We speak to those situations just like Jesus did. All right? We call them out. We don't allow them to continue in our life. You address it. You address it in the name of Jesus. You tell that circumstance it can't stay. You tell it has no right in your life. You tell that sickness, no, you're not going to take me down. In the name of Jesus, I've been healed by the stripes, and I'm not going to go down. That is how you resist the devil. You recognize his ploy, recognize his MO, and then come against him. All right? I'm not saying go and stand on top of a mountain and scream at the devil. I'm not saying that. I'm saying in your life, you see things going wrong and you go, wait a minute. I'm not going to accept this. I'm going to reject it. I'm going to stand against. I'm going to resist the devil, and he will flee from me. You see, we live in victory every day by faith. That's how we do it. We live in victory every day by faith. Listen to 1 John 5:4. And again, Dr. Dennis Love, he quoted this to me, I think, on Thursday about five times. He probably forgot the first four. But nevertheless, it's a good scripture, brother. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. What? What? Come on, talk to me. Our faith. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Janet Porter said this, what was once impossible is now inevitable. And you might want to write that down. I thought that was such a powerful statement. What was once impossible is now inevitable. You see, in your life, Satan wants you to think that it's going to be impossible to turn your circumstances around, that your finances cannot turn around, that the disease you're suffering from cannot be healed, that the relationship problems that you've got going on in your marriage and your home cannot be turned around. It's impossible. But by faith, it's actually inevitable. It's going to turn around. It's not going to stay this way. Amen? You can believe it's going to happen in the name of Jesus. Now, just because you have faith does not mean that you won't have challenges in life. Just because you have faith doesn't mean the devil's not going to attack you. Just because you have faith doesn't mean that you're not going to have storms. You can say amen, it's the truth. It's the truth, yeah? I walk by faith every day. And I'm going to tell you something, every day it's a storm. Every day there's a wind blowing. Every day something I'm having to deal with. It just, the devil is relentless. It just keeps on. And we have to standing. I mean, it gets so tired eventually, you know, I'm lying on my back with my one finger in the air saying, I will not surrender. I will not surrender. And then I hear, surrender is futile. What do you say? Resistance. Resistance is futile. There you go. No, I will not surrender. I mean, I tell you, just in the COVID thing, I got so sick, I couldn't pray. I got so sick, I was so weak, I couldn't lift my Bible up. I was lying in the chair with my Bible next to me, like, and I'm taking care of Jackie, and I'm like looking at it, and I'm going, I am just going to go to sleep. God, forgive me. Come on, did anybody else feel like that? Okay, just me then. All right. You won't lift your hand. Bunch of liars. What do I mean? Just if you have faith, that doesn't mean you won't go through storms. Well, consider the Apostle Paul, who wrote so much of the New Testament. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was stolen from. He was persecuted. He was stoned. I mean, he was so badly treated. I mean, you read the book, and how did you survive what he went through? All right? And it wasn't because he didn't have faith, and it wasn't because God had a sinister plan. I'm going to teach you a lesson, Paul. You persecuted my church. Now suffer, baby, suffer. No, it wasn't. Why do you think he went through all those things? Because he has an enemy. He has an enemy. And here's bad news. We have the same enemy. And this boy is eternal. He keeps going. He's eternal. And so the devil will work through circumstances. He'll work through sickness. And he'll even work through people. He will work through people. Yeah. Isn't that a shocker? Say, he'll never work through me. I'll hold you to that. Thank God Paul finished his race. But you know what happened? He was put in prison. He ended up in a Roman prison. He wrote about 2/3 of the New Testament. And then he was falsely accused because, you know, back then, Caesar was Lord. And you had to say Caesar was Lord. You couldn't have any other. And Nero was in charge. And the news got to him that Paul is not recognizing you as Lord. And he was put in prison. Spent many months in Roman prison. And then he was decapitated. That's how the Apostle Paul died. But he wouldn't quit right till the very end. Amen? Yeah. He stood his ground. He wouldn't give up. Now, Jesus warned us, and we actually should not be surprised about the storms we're facing. He warned us about storms we will face in our lifetime. I mean, just living this side of death has their storms. The only way you can get rid of it is if you go to the other side. And then let's make sure you go to the right side. Otherwise, your storms have just begun. So, living by faith does not preclude us from the storms of life. But guess what? It certainly helps us overcome them. Yes. Amen? Yes. Yeah, you overcome your storms of life by faith. So, living by faith doesn't remove the challenges. I want you to write this down. I'm a survivor and an overcomer. Say that with me. I'm a survivor and an overcomer. Just consider for a moment what you have gone through in your life. Just think about it. Think about what you have gone through, the circumstances, the sicknesses, deaths of loved ones, all kinds of stuff, loss of jobs, tremendous things that you've gone through. And in all of that, Satan was trying to discourage you. He was trying to get you to lose your faith in God. He was trying to get you to a place where you would give up. He was even trying to kill you. But here you are. Amen? Say, here I am. But here I stand. The devil did not win. He did not win. He has done his absolute best to try and discourage you. He's tried. He tries to stop you from attending church. He tries to stop you from spending time in the Word and from praying. He tries to stop you from attending the Promise Church or going to the Promise Bible College. He does. Trying to stop you. Amen? But he is a loser. Thank God. He is a loser. He has failed. You know why? You are unstoppable. Amen. You are unconquerable. Yes. if there's such a word. And you're undefeatable. Turn and tell somebody you're undefeatable. Thank you, Lord Jesus. John 16, verse 3. Let's look at this. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Now, this is a very, very particular word when Jesus used the word tribulation. It is a very, very well-selected word because the Greek, actually, if you look at the Greek, it describes a situation, and this word can be expanded to say the tribulation, you're stressed, you're squeezed, you're pressured, you're crushed, and it can even be translated distressed or afflicted in trouble. And all of them indicate a level of intensity that is almost impossible to deal with in the natural. Like you talk about a thin line. You talk about I've reached the end of my rope. You talk about I can't go in. I can't go on. You know, there's sometimes when the pressure gets so great that I get up in the morning and I think, I don't think I can breathe. Let me just check this. It doesn't feel like I can breathe. Anybody else have that kind of experience? Yeah, I get some people nodding their heads at me like, I'm not the only one that goes through. I go, no, I can breathe. All right, yes, I can breathe. And it's like I have an elephant sitting on my chest because the pressure gets so great that it squeezes, it crushes. It wants to overcome me so much that it's just like you're stressed out, completely can't go on. And then if that's not enough, when you reach that place, and then here comes, what's the thing where you go, woo, 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 with your head? Vertigo. Has anybody had vertigo? I used to think it's because wax in your ears or something has moved or some crystal has moved. Do the wax thing, do the head thing, do all this kind of stuff and still have it. So it's not that. It's actually stress. It's actually the pressures that we're dealing with. And I know the devil is really riding my case. And I go, you know what? I've got to understand. I've got to do what Jesus told me to do. I've got to get out of this thing. I can't stay here. This is not a good place to stay in. And so I read the scripture and Jesus said, be of good cheer. And I go, what? That doesn't make any rational sense. Do you know how I feel? Do you know the stress that I'm going through and the pressure that I'm going through? And you say, be of good cheer. So I examined the Greek word. What does this be of good cheer mean? It actually means to be courageous. It actually means fear not or take heart. Oh, okay. Be courageous. Fear not, take heart. Yeah, that's good. That's really good. But my mind is still going 1,000 miles a minute. I'm still feeling like I've been ridden over by a bus. But I want you to hear Jesus speaking to us this morning. I want you to hear him saying, in this world, you will go through distressing times. You'll feel stressed. You'll feel squeezed, pressured, perhaps even crushed. But take heart. Be courageous. Don't be afraid. Well, why would Jesus say that? Why would Jesus say that? Because he concludes this verse with these words. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. You see, I've learned something. Jesus cannot change the way I feel. I had to change the way I was thinking about the revelation knowledge of Jesus' victory for me. Because during this time, I had lost sight of that victory. I'd lost sight of what Jesus had done for me. And I was focusing more on my problems, and I was giving the devil opportunity. I was giving him place. I was yielding to him. But Jesus, the Holy Spirit was saying to me, Jesus can't change your feelings. You must change the way you think. And then he said this, when you change the way you think, you will change the way you feel. When you change, write that down. That's something good. You might have to take that home with you. When you change the way you think, it'll change the way you feel. Your feelings are directly related to the way you're thinking about something. Okay? And they can't change unless you wait. But let me just say this to you. Here's a caveat. You need to get this. Okay? Victory is not a feeling, nor is it just a state of mind. It is what Jesus bought and paid for at Calvary when he overcame Satan. It is actually an event that occurred. Victory is something Jesus did for us. It is not a state of mind, and it is not a feeling. It is a revelation knowledge of what Jesus did that we accept and believe. Like our songs that we did this morning, man, they were great songs. They were terrific songs, amazing songs. Now, this word, the last word I want to use from this scripture is the word overcome. The word overcome. See, the Greek word for the word overcome is the word nikos, which means victory. But in this context, it doesn't mean a single victory. It actually means a continuous abiding victory. So when Jesus provided victory for us, we don't have just a one-time victory over something. We are actually to live in a continuous, abiding victory. We have to understand that. Amen? Yeah. Go ahead, give the Lord praise. Come on. I like what Rick Renner said when he translates this verse, and he says this. I'm quoting him now. I have overcome the world. I am still overcoming the world, and I will always be in an overcoming position over the world. You want me to hear it again? All right, buy the tape. All right. No, I'll read it to you. There we go. We don't even sell the tape, so. They're free. You know what a tape is? Buy the digital recording. All right, listen. I have overcome the world. I am still overcoming the world, and I will always be in an overcoming position over the world. All right. Now, Jesus instructs us how to overcome the storms of life. You want to hear how he did that? Not enough people. I'll move on. You really want to know? Okay. So, yeah, listen. I'm actually a coach to you. All right. I'm not a cheerleader. And there's a little difference. All right, a little difference. It's not going to give you sugar water, pump you up, and then just leave you. So how many of you ever belonged to a team where you had a coach? Let me see your hands. All right, I did too, yeah. I remember playing soccer, and then at the end of the practice session, we'd all sit down, and he would tell us who's going to play on Saturday. I remember at school, we practiced during the week, and then on Friday afternoon, they would put on the billboard who was going to be playing that week and the cricket team and so on. So I know what it feels like to have a coach and to be in a team. Now, I want to ask you something. What is the coach's, other than wanting to win the game, what is the coach's plan and purpose for you as a team member? Is it, do you think it is to make you the best player you can be? Yes. For you to reach your maximum potential? Yes. Yeah. Now, that might require a bit of pain. No gain, no pain, no gain. Yeah? You might have to go through some unpleasurable things. You might have to train a little harder. You might have to do a little more exercises than you're used to doing. But the end goal is to actually get you to a place where you can be the best you can possibly be. He wants you to improve from where you are. When you hire a coach, it's because you're not happy with your status quo. You actually want to improve. You want to move further along. So, of course, there's encouragement, and I do give encouragement. So in a form, you know, I am a cheerleader to a certain extent. But listen, your coach doesn't give you the prize for showing up. He's not a California coach. And most of you are immigrants. from other states. Very few of you have been born in California. How many of you have been born in California? I take that back. Okay. Nobody said that being a Christian is going to be easy. Nobody said it's going to be a walk in the park or a bed of roses, right? That's not so. In fact, laying down your life, picking up a cross, and following him does not sound like fun. What does it sound like? Commitment to a cause without compromise. You want to write that down? Yes. Commitment to a cause without compromise. And if you're going to be victorious, if you're going to overcome, if you're going to put the devil back in his cage, you're going to have to commit to the cause without compromise. You're going to have to follow Jesus' instructions. You see, the biblical principles that I share with you on a weekly basis is so that you can live the life instead of living the lie. And you want to write that down. Living the life instead of living the lie. What is the lie? The lie is that you're always going to be a loser. That no matter what Jesus did on the cross, it wasn't good enough for you. That Satan is your master. And that you have to always accept what he wants to give out in your life. And that is the lie. God has the life for you. The devil has the lie for you. All right, so the principles I'm going to give you real quick as we wrap it up, they are to sustain and assist you to be an overcomer when the storms of life hit. Now, here's one of my favorite verses from Jesus, a great story that he tells. It's a great parable, but it has so much truth in it. I want to read the story, and you all probably know it, and found in Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, Jesus said, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now, you know, people who read this sometimes make this incorrect analogy, and they suppose that Jesus is talking about a believer and an unbeliever, and that he's supposedly saying that the believer's house stood, and the unbeliever who built his house on sand did not stand. But that is not an accurate rendering of this. Because remember this, Jesus said both people heard his word. So that eliminates the fact that one person is an unbeliever. They both heard his word. I would like to akin this to believers who come to church on a regular basis. Every week they come to church. Week after week, week after week, they come to church, they come to church. Now, the same storms hit both families. The winds blew, the rain came, the same storms. They both heard the word, and they both faced the same storms. What was the only difference between these two families? The foundations are different. The one is a rock and one is sand. But why did Jesus say the one was built on rock and one was built on sand? He said the one who does what I say builds his house on the rock. The one who does not do what I say builds his house on what? Sand. So you see, the foundation in your life is either a doer of the word or not a doer. You can both hear the one who does builds his house on a rock. One who doesn't do what he hears from the scripture builds his house on sand. So here's the bad news. Many Christians will have the storms of life hit them and will take down their house. And then people will ask this question, but they loved God. Why did God do that? How come God didn't save them? I can't believe that they were such a good people. You see, it's not a matter of being good or bad. It's not a matter whether God loves you or he doesn't. He loved both these people. That wasn't an issue. There was one fundamental difference. The one person heard what Jesus said and decided, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do what he says. The other person heard what he said, but thought to himself, he didn't deliberately say in a rebellious way, I'm not going to do what he said. I just think he let it get away from him. I just think he didn't apply himself. I don't think he was committed. I think he thought it was good enough just to go to church on Sunday and that God would protect him anyway. I don't think the other person was a bad person or rebellious or rejected the word. I just think they never put any effort into doing it. You see, Brother James tells us this in James 1:22. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are fooling yourself. You're deceiving yourself. So you fool yourself or you deceive yourself when you hear the word of God and you think that what hearing the word was good enough, that I can pat myself on the back because I went to church on Sunday or I watched streaming or I listened to something during the week and that's good enough. You don't score points for coming to church and you don't score points for just listening to YouTube or to one of the broadcasts that come out. You don't score points. Understand something. As your coach, I'm trying to get you to a place of strength to be an overcomer so that your house is not destroyed. And it may be a little uncomfortable. It may require a little extra work. It may require something a little painful, like getting up half an hour earlier. Or turning off the TV half an hour earlier. It may require something a little extra where you put in the effort. You're committed to the cause. You commit to the cause without compromise. You see what I'm saying? Now, this is where it comes. This is where the rubber meets the road. If you want to survive, you want to be an overcomer, you've got to do this. All right, let me wrap it up by encouraging you. Romans 8:31, my last scripture. What then shall we say to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be our foe if God is on our side? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Wouldn't it be neat if you were in a tug of war, a rope tug of war, and you had God on your side? That would be a little unfair. Just you and God. Amen. Yeah. So, verse 32, he who did not withhold or spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also with him freely and graciously give us all other things? God is not withholding from you. He gave you his prized possession, his son. And because he gave you his son, he's also willing to give you all other things. The good news is God is for you. God is on your side. God did deliver you. God did defeat the devil. He wants you to walk in the victory. He wants you to live in that victory. He wants you to be a doer of the word, be an overcomer, and stand against the devil. He hates to see you being overcome by the devil when he knows he's defeated the devil on your behalf. Amen. Amen. Go ahead. Praise the Lord. You see, his victory gave us the power to overcome our enemy. His victory. We had no part of it. We inherited the victory, but it was his victory that gave us the part. So to summarize this morning, here we go. Submit to God, resist the devil, live by faith, be courageous, do not fear, take heart. One more time. Submit to God, resist the devil, live by faith, be courageous, do not fear, take heart. Praise God. Everybody on your feet. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Let's do a little shouting. Let's do a little shouting. Are you ready to shout? Shout this. I have the victory.
I have the victory.
In Jesus' name. My house shall stand through this storm. I am an overcomer in Christ Jesus. Let's give him praise. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.